The first reading is from Deuteronomy 26, 1-12, first fruits and tithes. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you to your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Before Wendy comes to speak to us, let's pray for her. Lord, we thank you, our God, who loves to speak to your children. You delight to reveal yourself to us in your love and grace. We pray now that you would give us ears and hearts to listen to your voice as Wendy speaks. We pray your blessing upon Wendy, that as she opens her mouth, in your grace, you would speak your words, words of life and hope and grace. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, speak to us all this morning. Help us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter, and thank you for those people who have been reading as well. I love those words, rejoice in the Lord always. And actually it makes me think, I wonder when last you or I really rejoiced about something good. I know that sometimes we are quite conservative by nature, But actually, harvest is a time of celebration. It's a time of joy. It's a time of rejoicing in the bounty of the Lord. And we're celebrating God's gifts to us. Not only the gift of an abundant harvest, and thank you so much for those who have decorated our church in such beautiful ways that remind us of that abundance. But also, we thank God for the gift of being able to share our harvest with other people. And the one gift without which we would not even be here to thank God, and that's the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that of all gifts is the gift that we always bring to God with thankfulness or have thankfulness in our hearts for. So today I'm going to focus on a couple of things, but my main thing is developing or cultivating or sustaining even, good words for harvest, an attitude of gratitude. So how do we give that gratitude to God, which he so deserves? Do you know what? I'm fascinated by the heavens, the space around us, the stars, the amazing findings that scientists are having in our galaxy. And actually, space, and of course, this Earth, which we're part of, which is part of space, makes us think of God's greatness. I don't know if you noticed on the news this week, there have been about five occasions where they've been talking about different space explorations. The one that's most recent that I saw was Europe's space exploration, actually the Rosetta probe. Did you hear about that? The Rosetta probe, which has been, I don't know, probing, I guess, collecting information from space. They've now finally put to rest, and I mean it, they got the Rosetta probe to deliberately crash land into the comet 67P, and they've switched it off so that its radio waves don't clog up the space. But the other thing that really caught my attention was on Tuesday morning, we sometimes listen to the Today program, Radio 4, whilst we're preparing for breakfast. And the Hubble telescope has, again, caught images of vapor plumes spurting from the surface of Europa. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Europa, but Europa, you can't see it too well there, the light from our brilliant sun, but Europa is one of the fourth largest moon that circles Jupiter. And actually, it's a very fascinating planet, moon, because underneath the surface, which is practically, well, it's hard because it's icy, is an ocean of what they think is water. They discovered that quite a long time ago. Apparently, Europa itself was discovered by Galileo in 1610, which is quite interesting. But what they're planning to do is they're planning to do a trip to Europa, an exploration. They're calling it a Europa flyby mission. And they're going to launch it probably in about 2020, they claim. And that mission is focused on assessing how habitable Europa is. Of course, one of the main interests in space exploration is extraterrestrial life. So, are the vapor plumes CO2? Are they HO, water? Or what are they made out of? So, the craft will fly through and it will taste the vapor that's from these plumes. They talk about aggressively investigating the plumes. Does that mean that there'll be actual life on that planet? Well, we don't know, but what we're doing is planning to assess whether there is life possible. And actually, the scientist, Michelle Doherty is her name. She's the lead scientist in space exploration at Imperial University. I noticed the Hulls aren't here this morning, are they? They've just taken their son back to Imperial College today. Well, for the first time, actually, not back. But she, Michelle Doherty, talked about the idea that in order for life to exist somewhere out there, we need a few things. We need four things, actually. We need liquid water. We need a heat source. of course, light as well. We need organic materials or nutrients. All of those can be tested for. But the thing which can't be tested for, which I find really interesting, she said we need conditions to be stable for quite a long time. And actually, that's of course true. If you have an absolutely freezing winter and absolutely bursting with heat summer, how can life survive? So actually, there's a couple of things that people in the front are going to have to do this for me. Lydia, I'm sure, would like to help with Elizabeth. If you want to find for me the three things that sustain life on Earth that are underneath the chairs of the front few pews, could you just have a look and see if you can find them? So I'm looking for three things that sustain life on Earth. They're symbols of these things. Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Lydia. Do you want to bring that up? Please, can the other adults also help? Because otherwise she's feeling quite, on her own. So, yes, that's another one. I'm glad the celebrations are coming up too. And there's a little bucket there. There's a little bucket. It's sustenance. Remember, we were talking about sustenance. Don't worry, I will share them with you. Thank you very much, Lydia. That's fantastic.
I thought this was the best nutrient.
I think this is the best nutrient. So, thank you. So we've got some terra firma, some soil, which of course we need for planting things in. It's actually very fertile because from my compost heap. Nutrients and a source of symbol, a source of light, if not heat. So all that we need for life, although we don't know if it's out there, we do know that it's part of our planet at the moment. And actually, I'm just going to move this to the side of it. Sometimes we forget that it's not just what's out there that's fascinating, it's actually our planet itself, which is bursting with abundance. And that's what we're celebrating at harvest time. We're celebrating the heavens and the earth. We're celebrating the abundance of food, of fish, of everything that's happening. We already have all that we need for life. The sad part is that some parts of our earth actually have too much or too little of some of those things. So we know that there are floods, don't we? We also know that in some parts, season after season, they get so little rain. I know that 90% of the harvest in Zimbabwe, where I come from, failed this last year. People go hungry. And I think at harvest time, we also remember not just our abundance, but we remember too people in other parts of the world who maybe are lacking. Not just other parts of the world even, but other parts of our community. And so part of what we're saying at harvest is thank you, Lord, for your abundance. But also, is there a way that we can share what we have with those who have need? And it also makes us think about that incredible privilege and yet enormous responsibility of this earth that we have, which is bursting with life. Will it be bursting with life in the next generation and the generation to come? Well, that depends on us, on the way we live, on the way we inhabit our earth, on how we care for our environment. And so those thoughts also come to mind in our prayers, and as we reflect on even that reading in Deuteronomy, which we'll go back to at harvest time. So our earth, bursting with life, are we treasuring it? Are we thankful for it? Are we looking after it? So I come now to a little time in my talk. We've thought about all that we have, but we have each other. And we think of different ways that we thank each other and that we give to one another. So, thank you very much. Yes, one of the ways that we give to each other is through gifts. Now, again, you're going to have a look around the chairs in the front. I'm looking for something with a ribbon tied around it. Two things with ribbons tied around them. Could you please bring them if you can find them? Thank you so much. That's lovely. Oh, wow. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lydia. Ooh. So, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I've been given recently. One of the things for my last birthday was a bike. Actually, I was given this bike. This bike is from my youngest daughter, Emily. She went to Mallorca, and she came back from her holiday with this little bike for me for my birthday, which is absolutely lovely. I love bikes. I've got one out the front with a pot plant on it. This is by my front door as well. But I also got given a real bike by my husband. So I've got a bike that stretched over two birthdays because it was a bit too big for one birthday. So it's a beautiful new bike, and it almost enables me to keep up with him when we cycle. That's the one that we used, isn't it, Marianne, when we went around on our ride and stride. I used my new bike. I love bikes because not only do they keep you fit, which they do, actually they give you time to contemplate and to look around and to appreciate the beauty of things if you're not cycling down the Ipswich Road or in the middle of town. But also, they are, as you know, not so much saving the environment, but helping me not to be constantly putting pollutants into the air through driving everywhere. Why should I drive when I don't have to drive? So often these short distances that we go on are unnecessary. So I like the bikes for that reason. I've got to build a bit of winter toughness, though. I'm not so good at cycling in the middle of cold, freezing rain or snow. Another thing, don't you love this kind of gift? You get this and you think, oh, well, it's nothing to eat. It can't be something, you know, a thing. I wonder what it could be. My Christmas present, last Christmas. Take off the ribbon. Taste and see. The RHS Chelsea Flower Show. Yes! Open up. Not just one ticket, but two tickets inside. Now, I must say, this is my thing, and I know that Robin isn't particularly interested. I love going there. It's inspirational. It's not something I'd buy for myself. But what a great day out. What an experience. And the nice thing is that I know that he won't want to come, so I can invite a friend. So I invited a friend. Actually, Annie, you know the friend, Leslie, who was widowed a number of years ago, who doesn't actually do very much of this kind of thing either. She's a very good friend, and we had the most wonderful day out. And actually, the gardens are a celebration of life as well. They're a celebration of creativity. They're a celebration of the different kinds, a variety of different plants. And this year, they had a real ethical theme. I won't talk too much about it now. That's a subject for another talk. But provoking people to think about the world and all that there is in it. So that's another type of gift and experience. Some gifts don't cost anything at all, do they? So these are two of my favorite gifts. I found them in my drawer of treasures. I keep some things. This first one is from my youngest daughter. She's made it herself. I think she was in reception. She, or year one, she typed up the inside, so they'd written little things that they wanted to say, and then she typed up the inside. She managed to write the dear in her own fair hand. So I've got, dear mum, I love you because you look after me. Love from Emily. Oh, darling. Of course, it melts a mother's heart. Here's another one. This is from my eldest daughter when she was about 7, maybe. Two flowers. A little heart stuck on as well. To my darling mummy, she says. Pretty picture of me, long hair at the time. Oh, a pop-out card. It's got a heart. So, dear mummy, I love you so much with lots of O's. Thank you so much for being my mummy. Happy Mother's Day. Love, Amy. So those kind of gifts, those thank yous, mean so much to us, don't they? I got a little email this week that was thanking me for something that I had completely forgotten that I'd ever even done. And it was just so encouraging, so kind and thoughtful for that person to for some reason, think of me and write that email. I've written there 5 love languages. So I've talked about gifts that we give. 5 love languages. Has anybody come across these before? Okay, so a few of you have heard other people talk about them. So we know gift giving's one of them. Can you help me with some others, please? How else do we show our thanks and our affection for people? Gift giving? What else? This isn't a rhetorical question. This is a real question, yeah. Hugs. Hugs. Physical touch and closeness, they call it. Hugs, shaking hands, intimacy of physical kind. So that's a wonderful way of showing our love for one another. What else? How else do we show our thankfulness and appreciation for people? Orally, verbally. So the thank you word, what a wonderful thing. Even the sorry word shows our love for somebody because we care for something that we might have hurt them with or done wrong. But also just words of encouragement. And so if we see somebody who we know is struggling a little bit, to encourage them with words is really a gift. Anything else? So we've got encouraging words.
Supporting.
So supporting comes in that sort of area of, what's it called? Yes, quality time. Thank you, Ian. Quality time is being with somebody when they need us to be with them. Supporting somebody in a way that, not necessarily verbally, by doing something perhaps for them or by just being with them. So acts of kindness I'm thinking of kind of go together with the quality time thing. So an act of kindness, for example, would be to visit somebody who's not well because they can't visit you, or to take around a bunch of flowers to somebody who you know is feeling sad, or to hoover when you know the person who normally does the hoovering can't do it or has no time. Cook a nice meal. These acts of kindness are wonderful things, and so is spending quality time with people. My day out was just that, quality time. So think of ways of giving and of expressing your thanks to people that you know and love in ways that you possibly hadn't thought of for a while. Of course, we thank God too. We thank God because we can thank Him. Because, and again, this is a symbol of what He's given to us and done for us. He's given to us Himself. And of course, Himself in the form of His Jesus Christ, His Son, who died for us in order that we might be able to communicate with Him, in order that we might be forgiven, in order that we might be filled with gratitude. So His Son is what He's given to us. But ways that we can show God that we're thankful, I think what we're doing today, blesses God, singing, worshiping, saying prayers of thank you, also being here, being in His house, appreciating the beauty of this place. I want to just quickly, look at this passage in Deuteronomy, which is a passage of gratitude to God. It's really the time where the Israelites came together as a whole big group of people at the end of a really busy time of harvest. They came together for a feast, for a festival, bringing all the first fruits into the storehouse. And so we have some verses here which are an enactment or an attitude or a response to God's goodness. And they primarily saying thank you to God for bringing them to this beautiful place. So from Egypt, where they were prisoners, into a place of plenty. God brought them out and gave them a home. And they say this: the Lord brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. We could probably say the same about our land. We have so much, and this is our home. And now, says the Deuteronomist, I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. And so this idea of bringing our contributions, okay, we don't bring these days fruit and wheat and harvest so much, although some churches do, but we bring gifts that can be given to places like the food bank where people need food, places like Beacon House where people need things like toiletries as well as food. It's our first fruits. It's our giving from our plenty. Not only that, it's our monetary gift. So this year, actually for the first time, the food bank has said, could we have some money gifts as well? Not because they're wanting to, yeah, it's not like a salary, but it costs something to run the food bank. So not only are we giving gifts of kind, but we're also giving gifts out of our abundance from our salaries. We place the basket before the Lord our God. We bow down before him. And then he says, and I love this verse 11, then you, all of Israel, the Levites were a priestly tribe. The priestly tribe didn't have land. They didn't own land because they lived and enabled worship in the temple or the house of God. So then you and the Levites were priests, and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Actually, what a wonderful principle. They used to call them aliens, you and the aliens among you. Well, out of space, it kind of fits quite nicely with our talk, but no, foreigners. And we do have foreigners in our midst. In the last church I was in, one of the fifth Syrian family actually to be settled in Colchester arrived, and I was part of that group of people who were befrienders. Literally, what we did was to go and say who we were, welcome them into the community of Brayswick, which is where they're living, and basically enable them to work out where the supermarkets are, and we've been very involved with taking the mother of, she's a mother of three, it's husband and wife. Three children have just started school, but taking her to the hospital because she has had cancer, and so she's at the moment still going for treatment once a month for her cancer. So welcoming those amongst us who are either new to our community or literally from foreign lands, that's part of our gratitude. We overflow with thanksgiving because we have enough to welcome them in, to share with them, to enable them to find a home. So the Israelites looked back to what God had done. They thought about offering God gifts of what is theirs now in the present, but they also looked to the future. And I want to just finish by remembering that actually the future that we have is largely determined by the way we live our lives. And I mean that not only by the way that we live our lives in worship to God, giving him who we are and what we are and offering him the gifts of ourselves, but also thinking about how we live a life that is both preserving and sustaining our environment, our world. So we don't know if there's life on Europa. We don't know if there ever will be life on Europa, but we do know there is life on our planet, Earth. And so this harvest, let's give thanks to God. Let's come rejoicing into his presence with gratitude for everything he's given us, not just things, but himself. Let's thank God for what he's done in our past, for what he's doing in our present, and for what he will do in the days to come. So I want to close with the collect for today. Would you join me in prayer? Creator God, you made the goodness of the land, the riches of the sea, and the rhythm of the seasons. As we thank you for this harvest, may we cherish and respect our planet and its people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
As I listened to Wendy, the verse that came to my mind was, we love because he first loved us. So let's just come before God now and just respond to what Wendy has said. And I believe that we've got to start by just resting in his love. Just close our eyes and pray. Just reflect on all God's love and goodness for you. The gift of life itself. His daily provision of money through work or love through your family. Putting you into a church where you can belong. And most of all, the gift of life itself, spiritual life in Jesus. A life that goes beyond the grave, all yours through Jesus' death on the cross. So just receive that love afresh right now in your hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal your Jesus' love to us afresh, we pray. Lord, we thank you for your example of love. We ask that you would show us now how we can display that love to those around us in practical ways. In the silence, Lord, bring to mind people and organisations who we can help and support in practical ways. Maybe God wants you to speak a word to someone to encourage them. Maybe God wants you to visit someone who's sick. Maybe God wants you to write out a check to somebody in need or some organisation that helps those in need. Maybe he wants you to spend more time actually with Jesus himself to receive more of his love so that you are able to love as he is calling you to. Only you know what he's saying to you right now. Just take a moment to tell God what you're going to do this week in response to his love for you. Lord, we thank you, sustain us with your life. Help us now to be part of your sustaining of this whole universe. Help us to do our part. Help us to always give you thanks. But always, Lord, help us to have open hands to give part of what you give to us in word, in deed, in whatever way you choose. To your glory and praise we pray. Amen.